welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all look at a certain varietal, the Grape of Semillon. They look at the dry in the Les Écoles Columbia Valley Semillon. And then they go into the sweeter side with the Brumes de la Tour Blanche Sauternes from France. So sit back, relax, and get some education here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, in the freezing tundra that is the Wine Vault tonight. It is colder than usual in the Wine Vault. Not sure why. It's actually probably 60. Yeah. That's okay, because I am joined by the warmth of the unlicensed taxi driver.
And I'm feeling fuzzy tonight.
Oh, and I'm also joined by, what?
Fuzzy.
Oh, wow. The absolute heat of the Triple B.
Good evening.
And I would be joined by Spicy Steve. However, he has contracted the coronavirus, according to Steve.
Depending on when this airs,
yeah,
it might be an inappropriate comment to say that.
It's he always just an inappropriate comment to say that.
Well, Steve said that.
He did say that.
Steve just wanted to go to sleep tonight, as all was. Or his wife wouldn't let him leave the house. He couldn't get permission.
I think he's got enough points built up that he could have come over if he wanted. He said he was feeling blah.
Yeah. He's just a.
And yeah. I think he's the last one to get this current cycle of the flu in his house. I think everybody else had it.
How fun!
I'm glad he didn't come.
But we saw him last night.
Yeah.
Doesn't it suck when you're in a circle of people and you get to watch everybody else sick and you're going along and you're like, oh, maybe I won't get it. Maybe I won't get it. And then you're the last one. You're like,
yeah, you're
shit,
just biting your
got
tongue.
It. Yeah.
I normally am that with the stomach bug. So I'm just like waiting for the shoe to drop and then I die.
Hey, I noticed you have a little slight bruise on your cheekbone. Did you get in a match with the kids?
William bit me in the face through the a blanket. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Did you really notice that?
Yes! Yes, I got a bruise right there. It hurt.
So
and he actually drew blood. He didn't know what he was biting, but a blanket was over my head, and he was on top of me, and I was on top of Henry, and then he just bit through the blanket, and he bit right there, and it was bleeding.
Yeah.
I was mad.
It looks so much better now. I don't even notice it now.
Scott did.
Right away.
Yes, but you're looking for signs of abuse that I'm suffering.
Well, I always look for signs of abuse that you suffer because you're...
I feel touched.
It's just something I want to mock you about. That's all.
Dickhead.
I will say this weekend was Henry's birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And as anyone that is a parent of more than one child knows, there is like jealousy among the ranks whenever one of them has a special event. So I think that biting might have been unleashing some anger about his brother getting presents and a party.
He's just a dipshit, didn't know what he was doing. He was fighting. He was fighting to win, and he just bit me. It could have been Henry's butt. He didn't know what it was.
That's disgusting.
I know. I almost said something different. Anyway, on tonight's show, we are going to be somewhat pretentious because this is not a wine where we're a show where we're comparing two shit Pinots or, you know, I scrapped the two shit Cabernet episode, because we're going to go through a progression of a varietal that is, I think, undervalued, as Steve Buddy would say.
Actually, you would say this.
I would say this, because I enjoy this varietal, and it's the varietal of Semillon. Semillon is a wonderful Bordeaux white. Yes, this is a white wine. But the first wine we're going to do tonight, we're going to go from dry, the dry version of Semillon, and then we're going to do the sweet version, the dessert wine version.
Mm.
So we're going to start off in Washington, where they treat Semillon very well. And we're going to go to one of my favorite producers for Semillon. Well, actually, any wine in Washington. It's one of my favorites.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that when
I did
this.
Not know this either.
Yes, it's Les Écoles number 41. It's their
Les Écoles.
Yeah, Les Écoles. It's their Columbia Valley Semillon from 2017. So that's what we're going to start off with, the l'école. And then that's the dry. Then we're going to go to the sweet. And the sweet is an interesting wine from Sauternes, which is Bordeaux, Graves specifically. And that wine will be Brumes de la Tour Blanche Sauternes. It's a half bottle, unfortunately, Scott, so we can't get sloshed on it. But nevertheless, $12.99 for this wine, and it's a well-scored wine.
Okay.
So we're going to start off, we're going to talk about the what we get from the grape. It's going to be washed into France, but that's okay. What we're going to get from the grape, what we're going to experience in the dry wine. Then we're going to go on to the completely different thing. We're going to talk about botrycized noble rot. We're going to talk about some good stuff that makes some really good stuff. And the Triple B is going to have to drink a sweet wine tonight. It's exciting for you, isn't it? You like the white desserts. You don't make a habit of drinking them, which is
fine. Yeah, I like white dessert wine. Mm-hmm. I don't like
port.
Yeah.
But also, there's one thing. Both of these wines are blent slightly with Sauvignon Blanc.
The other wine is blended with a third.
Mm-hmm. Muscadel.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Bordeaux or Sauternes typically are in some fashion. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, it's predominantly Semillon. And it's a similar blend. This doesn't have Muscadel in it, but everything else is very, very similar between the two. So,
why are you blending it with a Sauvignon Blanc? For some of the crispness or?
Often, L'École has a next level up, and that's 100% Semillon. I don't know. Just trying to get a little bit more complexity in the lower grape stock. Also, they're blending across several vineyards, so, you know.
And maybe to even it out. I could see, you know, if they're having that upper level one that's just a Semillon, it's even out.
800 case stock, production. It doesn't matter, you know. But for this, you have the lesser vineyards, that vineyard, and then you round it out with
the
Sauvignon
Blanc.
So
would you say the Sauvignon Blanc is like a filler for the lower level?
No, but it's a classic treatment for Semillon. Is to blend it with Sauvignon Blanc. So that's not all that unusual. Okay. It's actually just going to the French method of doing it. It's very, very strange. Normally, though, you're going to see Semillon be the component that is blent with something else. Chardonnay, Semillon, things like that. But Semillon is most generally used as a dessert wine that they just use. Noble rot, botrycized Rieslings, or botrycized Semillon make delicious, heavy dessert wine. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and break down the dry Semillon first here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the question has been raised by the Triple B, and most wisely so. The question is, what is Semillon, other than a grape? We know that. Why are we even talking about it today? And why do I think it's undervalued, like Steve Bodie would say? Semillon is a white grape. It's the yin to the Chardonnay yang. It's just treated differently. Semillon, in my opinion, is a little bit more riper, has better fruit. It also lends itself, because of its fruit structure, better for dessert wines. So think of the dry Riesling. Think of that with a bigger mouthfeel. Maybe not. Obviously, it doesn't have the residual sugar. But think of something big and round like that. That's a Semillon. Semillons can be bigger and stronger wines from a white. It's not aromatic like a Roussin or something like that. But it is a ripe, full white. Dry until you treat it late harvest and then you have it botrycized and whatnot.
So why do you think it is not a more popular wine.
I don't know. Often we always question this because there's a lot of great whites out there that are ignored because of they have a kind of a bad rap. Semillon's just never even noticed. But it is noticed in Australia. Australia does a lot with the Balthasar Semillons. Elderton's makes a wonderful dessert wine based on that. So there's a lot of those, and they call them stickies. It would be something. Semillon is mostly known for their dessert wine treatment. You don't use it a lot from the dry. You don't see it a lot in the dry. But they used to. Lindeman's, Rosemount, all of those low-end ones, all had a Semillon. They all did Semillons. And they were great, I mean, as a simple wine. California, though, you're right.
I just don't think it's grown that much.
I don't even know. Last time I saw California Semillon, I don't know. I'm sure somebody does, because just to be weird. But I don't know. I've never seen a California Semillon.
Is it
Washington? They do occasionally.
Is it in that white coat blend by Turley? Is that one of the whites in it?
I don't think it's so, because they're going for Rhone style.
That's right. It's Rhone style.
I can't say, though, that they don't have 2% of Semillon in there.
Something like that, because there was a bunch of different things.
They ran out of stuff. But
historically, this was around the world at one point. It was 60% of the South African grapes that were grown.
Yeah.
Chile, a huge stockpile of Semillon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not anymore, but that's what it once was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it temperamental, or do you think it's just a little bit not in favor?
Not that I'm aware of.
Hardy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
But it ages.
It can. Yeah, and especially in the Sauternes. Hmm. Those things, I mean, a Grand Sauternes can go 50 years, 60 years. Some of the grandest wines in France are Sauternes. Hmm. And then there's the one we're having tonight. But still... still
getting my hopes up. Well, it's just interesting, and I think it is very interesting to me, the wines that go in and out of favor.
Oh, sure.
And like that are having a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see, like, right now rosé is like the wine.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even really a wine I had heard of a couple of years ago, you know. Sure. It was like just whatever. Well, so
but rosé is a treatment.
I mean, I'm rolling my eyes
because
it just is annoying to me in general.
What, rosé?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't
know. No, you. She was talking about you. Well, you're just annoying to
her. She rolled her eyes at me. So.
Well, you're used to it.
Now, this wine does have some reviews.
Ooh. Okay.
On the second page, it's awards and acclaim.
Well, something before we go into that, on the cut sheet that you gave us, something that I thought was really interesting is where, and that this was the reason why I asked if it was like fickle or temperamental as grape. But something that they brought up that from the winemaker brought up is that that during the time of the harvest, there were forest fires nearby, and that created a high smoke layer during the first half of September, slowed down the fruit ripening, and it diffused sunlight. And I think that is so interesting. We think so much about the soil content and the temperature.
Yeah.
But this was just another environmental condition that they had to take into account. But then it says there is an Indian summer, October. It brought in plentiful sunshine, warm days, cool nights, a near perfect vintage for this wine.
You know what? That's one reason why I like this winery, because they don't put dumb shit.
Yeah.
They put stuff that actually matters, factual things.
Yeah.
We have how many damn wineries do we have that just want to put some poetry bullshit on there?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or talk about some dude from 1875 that never was involved with the winery, but they named it after him.
Yeah.
And then in my really important times, I ride my motocross bike across the vineyard.
That sucked dick. Yeah, that guy.
And they'll say something like, they watched this movie and it inspired them into a life of winemaking, or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not real. But this is, their cut sheet's very interesting.
Their call is, they are traditionalists.
I fell down the stairs. I hit my head. And when I came to, I realized, my life's work is in making wine.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things on cut sheets is when they're like, I stumbled into winemaking. And you're like, no, you didn't. Your family has owned land in Napa generations.
Wagner. I developed a passion all by myself. No, you didn't.
You saw how loaded your parents were and wanted to also be loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. But I really like that. It's very smart, and you feel more educated after having read it.
Absolutely. Now, the reviews, though. And Triple B, do you remember when we were first dating, we had dinner in the John Hancock Tower. Remember that?
Yeah.
That night, with our dinner, we had Le Col 41 Apogee, which is one of their expensive reds.
Really?
Yes. It was quite nice.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that. I do remember the chocolate dessert we had.
Okay. Well, the apple juice was divine. So, the reviews. Did you want to read these? Or, I mean, there's one that I know I want to read, but the
go
other
ahead
ones.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Well, this wine got a 90.
Oh, yes. Yes. Let me interrupt here. I've been off the show for quite some time. They've let me back on, and this is James Suckling. Please check out my master class. Please. I can't have Scott asking me to take layers of clothing off during my master class anymore. I need more subscribers so I don't have to tolerate his sexual harassment.
This isn't part of his review.
What, me too, damn it. Anyway, I wrote, this has a nicely refined lemon aromas with gentle green mango notes, as well as grassy nuances. The palate delivers a sleek, crisp, and fresh impression with smoothness at the finish. Nice balance and length here. A blend of 85% Semillon and 15% Sauvignon Blanc. Drink now. James Suckling. Oh, yes.
I think it's a dash.
Yes. Steven Tanzer. I don't have a voice for him because who fucking cares?
Oh, I know. That's the
By
one
the way, that's my personal physician's name.
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Stevie, he
Does
writes
he write for Venice?
Venice, yeah. He gave 88 of his points, and you don't give a shit what he said.
I do like that he said a substantial Semillon for the gentle price.
That is clever, isn't it?
I mean,
clever. Wine Spectator gave it 88 points. Crisp and vibrant with lemon, beeswax, and spice flavors. That was Tim Fish from The Spectator. The Wine Enthusiast. They put it in their top 100 Best Buy. And they gave it 90 of their points. Aromas of fig and spice carry the nose of this lush wine. The palate brings a lovely sense of texture with notes of honeycomb, fig, and tropical fruit. A warm finish caps it off. Like most examples of this variety, it needs time in the bottle to be fully appreciated, but it has all the stuffing. Best ever 2019.
Which is funny compared to two others who say drink now.
And that they released that in 2019. So all November 2019, so 2 months later is when you're supposed to drink it.
Words of wisdom.
Yes.
Read the one from Washington Wine Blog.
Why don't you?
This has pear aromas with marzipan and toasted brioche on the nose.
Well, in his defense, he just has a blog about Washington wines. That's all he's got. Because he can't really talk about Chilean wines on his Washington wine blog.
The palate is wonderful, with mouthwatering acidity and wonderful richness. Brioche, Japanese pear,
yes,
and macadamia nut flavors all mingled nicely together in the glass. This is a simply outstanding value.
He gave it 92 of his points, and it was number 20 in the top 100 of 2018, I presume. Of Washington wines. How many wines did he actually taste? 22?
24. I hope he tasted 100.
That's oh, by the way, it's a doctor. Dr. Owen Bargreen. Doctor.
Don't start making fun of him because I know that's where you're headed.
You know, I think he's investor in the pedophile.
Oh, Scott.
That's right. He's an investor in the pedophile.
Stop.
Doctor.
Stop.
You know, LeCoe 41.
Did you know I'm a doctor too?
Are you a doctor?
If you aren't nice, I'm going to put my cell phone next to my microphone.
Doctor.
I'm a real doctor, though. He's not.
Doctor.
He's a chiropractor.
Could you examine me, please?
Okay.
They call 41s Ferguson, Apogee, and Perigee.
Yeah, Perigee.
94s, 95, 96.
Yeah.
And they're, I mean, Ferguson's expensive at 75. The others are 50.
Yeah. You're going to go buy those now, aren't you? And pretend like you always liked them.
No, I never had them, but
they're wonderful.
Interesting.
I've had the Perigee and the Applegee. I've not had the other. I've had the Walla Walla Syrah, all the cabs, the Merlots. The Merlots are always at the wine thing that we go to in the Short North.
Okay.
The wine bar. Yeah.
Oh, tastings.
Mm-hmm. Tastings. Chardonnay, I've had that. Chardonnay. Chenin Blanc, I've had that.
Chenin Blanc.
Yep. Chardonnay. So... Also, the Wine and Spirits reviewed it, but nobody fucking cares. So, on to the wine, because I want to drink. In the glass, pale yellow. Mm-hmm. Still, no effervescence here.
It's one of the lighter
mm-hmm. colored.
It is very light.
White wines we've had.
The nose.
I smell green mango.
No, I don't.
I know. Do you smell macadamia nuts?
No, I just don't know what green mango. Well, mango. Well, maybe mango.
Yeah, maybe there's citrus. Something a little bit tropical.
Yeah, candied green apple and yep. mango. Good job,
look
James.
At you. You're just the same as, what's his face?
I don't even know if they'd make Dr. candied green apple.
No, it is a green apple.
Well, it's slightly candied and it smells like green apple. And I didn't want to say green mango because that's what James said. And I wasn't going to do it.
Almost pineapple.
Almost. But not. You know, because I was thinking originally pineapple, but it's like, it's not quite pineapple, no. It needs a little bit of a streak of vanilla or oak backing this up. And this was on oak for 5 months, I believe.
Oh.
It's a nice nose, but it's a little sweeter nose. Rob went in.
Yeah. The tasting notes from the winemaker say pretty orange blossom with layers of honeysuckle, honeydew melon, and lemongrass.
Yes. What? Did you drink it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to like this, mm-hmm. Becky.
I didn't say.
Wow. Mmm. Scott's going to crap his pants. That be good. Very good. If a wine could be near full-bodied, this is getting near that. Getting near
a white wine.
A white wine.
And it's
buttery.
Yeah.
Without being oaky. There is oak, but
There's also I'm just going back through the catalog. It also has a bit of glycerin there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's dairy and that glycerin, and it really creates a wonderful mouthfeel. I'm trying to remember a mouthfeel that had both those characteristics.
No.
And they're distinctly separate.
Yep. They absolutely are. They're 100% on
dairy
point.
Dairy and glycerin are oily mouthfeel. Oh, at the same time, I don't remember us ever having one that did that.
No, not like that, no. Mm-mm. Mm. Just like you took Irish thick butter and smeared it on something and took a bite and it wasn't quite melted. It's appealing to me. I don't know.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it did not like that description.
The wine, the mouthfeel is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Rob's description, I'm like, what?
It worked for me. It didn't work for you.
I love Irish butter. I don't necessarily care for it in an unmelted form necessarily, mm-hmm. but...
It's soft. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I know what I mean. Mm-hmm. No one else does.
The length.
Oh, wonderful length. And the beauty part is you have the glycerin, you have that dairy richness with green apple. But really, it's the mouthfeel and just that little bit of toast of oak that kind of just. Brings it along. It's like a canoe of oak, and it just is riding along.
And I think for me, that I notice first the acidity,
mm-hmm, yeah.
and then the acidity changes. That's the first thing that I taste. That's the first like almost mouthfeel is the acidity, and then it melts into the butter and the glycerin, like waxy feeling. And so it is very distinct, but it is really, really well done, nicely done. You don't normally get multiple.
No, you
mouthfeels in a wine.
Yeah.
And the acidity fades pretty quickly, so it's not present throughout the whole palate, and mm-hmm. that's very, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And if you listeners were playing Unlicensed Taxi Driver Bingo and you've got minerality on the finish, it's bingo, you win.
It's minerality.
But what is that minerality? Is that
slaty.
Slaty, almost gunpowder-ish.
Cordite.
It's not gunpowder. That's funny. I haven't even
gotten
like tannerite.
To finish
yet.
Tannerite.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I love it.
Yeah, right.
Finish. It's unusual finish in how that finish is where that minerality expresses itself. And it's subtle. It's soft.
Do you expect that minerality from a Washington white?
Yeah.
Okay. Beauty.
I am so impressed that you are, you all are both able to talk about the finish, because I'm still on the beginning acidity. Yeah. I just can't get over it.
You like it?
I love it. I love how it is very acidic and it just fades quickly.
Well, they're all pushing their glasses towards the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
For sure. But it.
Nectar of the gods.
What was.
I haven't finished appreciating the acidity to go on to any other part of it yet.
What was the price point on that?
$16.99.
I think that was on that clearance sale where I picked up a bunch of stuff on wine.com.
No, that's about what it goes for normally. In the teens.
We're going to fact check.
But folks,
back to this. Semillon provides that round mouthfeel. Obviously, it's oaked quite adeptly. So it's also L'Ecole is doing a wonderful job with his wine. It's just artfully done. That being said, it is very, and this is going to sound a little slapstick, but it is very winey. This is not something like KJ where it's just a burst of fruit and anyone can enjoy it. It has, it's oaked. And it's oaked in a way that tastes wonderful to us. It might not taste someone fresh off the boat. I don't know if Triple B a year and a half ago would have said.
That's a good point. I think especially on a white wine, if you are not used to oaking or you don't like oaking on a white wine, it can be really, really off-putting. This is extremely well done, and I feel like it's kind of like we're all conditioned right now in liking oaking.
Yeah.
But that's a really, really good point. This would never, ever be an introduction to wine. Wine, anything like that.
But it's a credit to this wine, in my opinion. Yeah. It's not intended for that. It's intended to challenge the drinker and really give them something to remember.
However, for someone who enjoys dry white wines.
Sure.
This would be a nice introduction to the oak side of the fence because it's so adept. It's subtle.
Well, Scott,
this oaking, it's there, it's ever present, but it's on the more subtle side.
Because of the round mouthfeel, because of the big quality of this wine, if you blind tasted me on this wine, first of all, I wouldn't know it's Semillon because I don't drink enough Semillon. But beyond that, you would say it's Chardonnay, and you'd say it costs in the $30 range.
And where would you say it's from?
Napa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You would say Napa?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because of the way it's oaked. Because I'm also I'm just a noob at white wines.
I think because of its subtlety that I don't know. That's the point I was getting ready to make is I don't know that I would know that this was a domestic production.
I'm with you. I'm not certain. I wouldn't say French.
Yeah, I think that I would too. But if we were blind tasting it, because there's nothing that's like hitting you over the head.
I guess I would expect a French to be a little lighter bodied, though.
You would, and it wouldn't be as oaked.
Yeah,
or oaked in the same fashion, I suppose, is what I would say. It would be lighter. But then again, when you're talking about French, from where? What?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different levels, too. I mean, you can have...
I don't know that I would say Chardonnay on this, though. Because is so buttery.
Well, that is buttery.
Yeah.
No,
well, dairy.
In a different way.
I know what you mean.
I don't know. And I think, too, the coloration of this, I would be very... If I looked at the coloration, too, if I was thinking through it, it's such a pale color. Normally, when you have a Chardonnay, it's so much darker.
It'd be tough to say a white.
I don't know what I would.
But theoretically, in a blind taste, and you're drinking it blind,
it'd be tough to say a white Washington.
Because
you know, Cali Chardonnays, French white blends.
Mm-hmm.
What other white wines around the world are really oaked all that often?
I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would say. It's not a Moscato. You know, it's not a Riesling. Mm-mm. You know, it's not. It doesn't taste. I think I would maybe say some kind of Sauvignon Blanc because some of that fruit is there. But I think I would just be extremely confused.
An oak Sauvignon Blanc, but it's also too big a bodied for that.
Oh, I know. And
I know this.
Sweet.
If you pull this out in a year, we're never going to guess it again.
No way.
We could.
Maybe I would guess Sauvignon.
Maybe something else that I have been thinking about is I have a friend that is allergic to sulfites, so she can only drink white wine. And I think that to some extent it would and this is maybe a little bit stereotypical, but it would get a little bit boring only drinking whites. This would be something that's really, really interesting.
I think so.
Has a lot of depth. It is sweetish, but not sugary sweet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not.
What's the friend's name?
Sarah.
Which Sarah?
Palin.
Who? Oh, her?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't know. Nah, probably not her. I saw on BuzzFeed they make a little bit of a little wand that has a screen in it, and you wiggle it around in your glass, and you take all the sulfites out. According to this, that's right. Yeah, it's a sulfite screener.
Is it like a strainer?
It kind of looks like one of those toothpick things that you have like the little floss at the end, but it has a screen on it, and they just wave it around in your glass.
It's like when I first started watching soccer in the '80s, and the god. You know, get kicked in the leg and be dying on the ground, just dying. And it was like, and the guy would walk out with a bucket and he had the magic sponge. And they'd take that magic sponge, squeeze the water out of it, rub it on the leg, and the guy would magically jump up.
Yes.
The magic sponge.
I mean, science suggests that won't work that way, but they had great reviews.
It always worked on the injured soccer players.
I don't have a headache anymore. Okay. You just put it in your bottle of, what is it, Stella Rosa. I think you're fine, man.
Oh, my God. So I was in the worst wine section I've ever seen in my life at a Kroger. It was out east on the river. And I've seen better wine sections in a convenience store on 310 and 70.
I was going to say that at the Duke and Duchess on 310 and 70.
Better wine selection there.
They have that whole dedicated Ravens.
Raven's Glen or something?
Yeah, section.
Yeah, we're not having it on the show. We'll have that versus Naughty Blush.
Gross. God, I won't be here that day.
Watch your tongue.
Why?
Becky's doing well with picking out wines.
Oh, God. One day I'll see that bottle missing. Like, no. I'm wise to your game.
It'll be on an episode I'm not present for. I would never drink that.
This bottle is a mystery bottle that's been brought to us by Becky, who's not on the show today. I think we'll switch it out. Yes.
I know, I need to do some thinking on what I want our next one to be. What I really need is access to Rob's wine.com account, but he would cheat and look.
Yes. No, it's hard to see. Oh, I get an email. But once you order it, it's not like it's there for you to look at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kind of stupid, actually, but that's all right. Yeah. Scott, I just got in. You know, I'm not sure you'll be very excited about this. An Argentinian Malbec for Becky.
Yet another Valentine's
Day. Altos de Hormigas, I think. Okay. They're Clasico. And they got a 91 from Parker.
Okay.
$9.99.
I am so excited for you guys to have that.
No, we're going to have that on the show.
I'm so excited for you guys to have that.
A dessert wine. Is this something that you would just drink after dinner? Is this something that you would have?
Wow.
Yes.
If you drink it the same way you would Chardonnay.
Oh, so you would drink it with a meal?
You could.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Chicken.
I was going to say just a nice oven roasted chicken that's, you know, falling off the bone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid to have pork with this.
Pork tenderloin, maybe an herb crusted pork tenderloin, something like that. Yeah, that would be all right. Yeah, I could see that. A pork chop with a fat, not that, but
it just depends how it was treated.
Yeah, but yeah, pork tenderloin, certain ways, I would say. Yeah. So what we're going to do, folks, we're going to take a break because we're going to compose ourselves. We have to make sure our glasses are empty for the next wine. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be right back with the sweeter side of Sémillon here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn
or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So we're on to the sweeter side of Semillon.
Can I steal your ink pen to write some notes? I thought we were reviewing right away.
Yes, here you go. Here's your own ink pen for you. I need it. I'm writing.
I like that pen better.
I know you do. Anyway.
Those ink gels are great.
Yes, they are. We've talked about that before. So the Sauternes that we have, and just start off with explaining to you what that one is. It's the Brumes de la Tour Blanche Sauternes, and it's the 16 vintage. Sauternes is Semillon, and there's also some Sauvignon Blanc and a little bit of Muscatels, things like that in it. But what it is, it's a late harvest, very ripe grape, okay? You're waiting till it's very ripe. And then what happens is, assuming that it's dry, if it's wet, it's going to have some problems doing this. But if it's dry, you're going to get something called noble rot, or it's going to be botrycized. And that's basically a fungus that grows on the grape and just shrinks it down almost to like a raisin. And from there, you press that, and you get that intense sweetness and richness. Yes. You're grossed out.
No, I was thinking about Amarone.
Amarone, sure.
Is made out of...
I don't think... Amarones aren't botrycized, though, I don't believe. But I know what you mean. They are a raisined grape.
Right.
I don't know. Are they botrycized?
That's a good question.
Check that out, Scott. That might be noble rot, too. But these things are shriveled down to almost nothing. And as you can imagine, when you press, you're going to get a very, very low yield because of that. There's only so much liquid that comes out of those things. And that's what you get here. And so when you look at it compared to the other Semillon, they're cool. The coloration is definite. It is, well, probably up two tones darker than the Washington Dry.
Amarones are actually taken off the vine and made.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. So it's not the same.
They're not butchercised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
I was going to say, because Amarone isn't a dessert wine, and Scott hates it. So
I fed it once.
I know, it doesn't sound like something I would love.
I love it.
Pretty much every time on a Friday night when we're playing Guess That Wine, I just live in fear that you're going to give me an Amarone.
I don't have any Amarones.
Well, I'm just telling
you. It was Vegas. It was rugby weekend. It was a weekend of debauchery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I had my nemesis with me and he was drinking Amarone, maybe that's how we could have settled our dispute.
Oh, that dude? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an Amarone drinker. He's probably a...
Bud Heavy?
No, I would suggest that guy was drinking Zimas, probably.
With or without Jolly Ranchers?
Without. And probably an underage prostitute with him as well. You probably met that prostitute, right?
Yeah,
that's true.
It was awful.
It was. So.
Yes. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So one time, some descriptors you're normally going to hear along with Sauternes. You're going to hear honey. You're going to hear beeswax. Maybe even ginger. Things like that.
Ginger?
Yeah. Sometimes. Depends.
Sounds awful.
More of a Marianne guy.
There you go. But those are some of the descriptors that you might describe a botrycized wine.
But don't underestimate the professor.
So it's called Sauternes because in those white shirts.
It's just a style. I don't actually know why it's called Sauternes. Because it's from Graves.
Fetching man, the professor was.
Mm-hmm. A Frenchman named it Sauternes. I do not know where I don't know the etymology of the name.
Boy, there's a surprise. Sauternes is made in France and a Frenchman named it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I was just asking why we call the Lake Hole one Semillon, but we're calling this one Sauternes. But it's because it's
tradition.
From the region of France.
Yeah.
And it's made. It's the botrycized dessert wine.
Mm-hmm. And Barsac is another one that is not Balsac. Barsac is another one that is a sweet dessert wine. It's just called Sauternes. I presume it's the name of the style of what right. this is. So, and Semillon is just a small part of that.
So not all Semillon is produced into Sauternes.
That's true. That's true. And also, you can find a Botrytis Semillon that's normally that you're going to find. It's the same treatment, but that's normally out of Australia.
Okay.
I would have to look up what Dolce is. Or is it Dolce? Yes. Through Nickel & Nickel, their wildly expensive dessert wine that I've had that is just okay. Dolce, I think we're going to find is a Baltrasized something. I know it's Baltrasized or something, but it might be
cinnamon. That reminded me Late of harvest. Cinnamon Dolce.
Yeah, it does kind of remind me of him.
Farniente Dolce.
Farniente Dolce is stupidly expensive.
The one bottle wasn't as much. Okay. Shop Essence. Why is this?
Jesus. And why he looks, this is James Suckley, and I have actually reviewed this Sauternes that they have in front of them, and I gave this wine 93 of my points, all 93 of them. And I wrote, this has a rich and fleshy feel, with a bright citrus, peach, and apricot fragrance that leads to a sweet, fleshy, and rich array of peaches and citrus on the palate. Good depth and texture. Second wine of La Tour Blanche. Drink or hold. That's what I tell everybody about me.
Gross.
Drink me or hold me.
So, on the nose... Let's try that again. Ooh. There's definitely a honeycomb and grapefruit, I will give you that, mixed with tropical fruits that are somewhat prickly.
It's quite a nose.
It is. Well, it's unusual. You're not in. Is that petrol? A little bit? Because there's some sort of wafting.
There is something on there. Yeah. It is. A little bit off-putting to me.
Molasses. That's what that is. It's a light whiff of molasses. Interesting.
Oh, being totally honest, I'm having a hard time really getting into the nose because it almost hurts to breathe it in. And I'm a little bit like, I don't know if I'm going to be strong enough to taste this.
Here we go. Well, I'm going to taste it because I want to do it.
Freaking Dolce, the website is a shit show.
Really? What do you think of the nose Scott's drinking?
That's righteous. Oh. Caramel. Caramel. Not butterscotch, caramel. Will it lead into butterscotch? It doesn't.
Mm.
Yes, it's a wonderful mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Deep apricot, peach, like they said.
White, in the mid palate,
white grape.
There's a flash of citrus.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go grapefruit. Pink grapefruit. Just a sweet pink grapefruit. There's just a flash of it that's so nice. And I think what that is a splash of acidity coming through. But it's right in the mid-palate. Now it's
very god-awful
sweet. It's very brief, but it's nice. Uh-huh. It's almost...
It's not cloying, though, because it has acidity that cleans it up. It doesn't... It's not exactly all that lengthy.
No.
But what's there is tight and compact and very good.
And the... It has very much like a syrupy mouthfeel to it. And that acidity that Scott's mentioning is a nice break.
Well, it keeps it all light. You drink it, you're like, I liked it. There is a finish, but it is very light.
It's like, and there's peach or nectarine or apricot somewhere in that finish. But it's like, okay, I'm going to describe it this way.
It's like you're going up a hill. The front palate is sweet. It's the, Rob mentioned the caramel. And it's like a warm caramel, like a caramel sauce on a dessert.
Yeah.
But then it, as that crescendos and then it starts going away, there's this little hint of, I'm calling it pink grapefruit, sweet pink grapefruit, that hint of acidity. And then it goes down the hill.
Yes.
And that's where there's even a different expression of fruit. It becomes slightly less sweet for me. It's still a, it's a dessert wine. It's sweet through and through.
Yes.
But it changes gears a little bit. So it's like you're going up this hill. It's really sweet. Then there's this kiss, and then it goes downhill, and it becomes something different.
It's a little bit. It's a lithy wine at the finish, and I like that. I really appreciate
that. What do you mean lithy at the finish? What do you mean?
Almost slightly airy, and it just goes away. It drifts away wind.
It really goes off.
Yes.
To nothingness.
Yes. And that's such a nice feeling, because these sometimes can be overpowering and cloying and just dominate you. This does not do
the
that.
The sweetness doesn't hang on. There's no sweet aftertaste in your mouth. And that's very refreshing. And I think that's what makes this a level higher from other dessert wines, where you're left with this overwhelming sense of sweetness.
Mm-hmm. It's a dancer.
Have you ever put like sugar on top of peaches and put them in the fridge for a couple hours, and then the juice that comes off? Isn't that what this is?
Caramelizes
like?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Imagine this really, was really a peach nice. Cobbler.
I was just thinking about what would this be like. Not that you would pour this over ice cream, but it reminds me of something that you would. It's not, it's not thick enough. That's not what you do with it, but that's the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's wonderfully nice, and it is sweet. It is a dessert wine, but it's not overpowering
so. Right.
Yeah. It's fruit-driven, too. I mean, it really is fruit-driven, and there is residual sugar there, simply because it's a dessert wine, but it's so imbalanced and well done, and $12.99 is what this one cost. That's a deal.
Go back in. And as it comes down the hill, just taste it. There's a little bit of forest floor. There's something earthy there. Not minerality. There's something earthy there. Pine, evergreen, forest floor. There's something earthy there. It's not barnyard.
Well, there is a... kind of tying it all together. There is a grassy, meadowish to it. It's the terroir. I mean, it's the terroir of the wine that is expressed through this. I mean, you have all that sweetness, but at the same time, the wine is able to express where it comes from. And so you are getting just the lightest hint of a grassiness. You know this, what that reminds me of? And that's the Sauvignon Blanc, I think. Because... Uh-huh. California in Napa, I assume they still exist, there was a Sauvignon Blanc called Mason. And Mason's party piece was, it was a wonderfully grassy Sauvignon Blanc. It was beautiful. We loved it. It was our favorite thing when I was working at Anderson's. It was our favorite white wine. It was gorgeous. And that little bit of wisp of grassiness reminds me of that. Now, that was more pronounced, but this, just the wisp, is just the right amount because it just gives it another dimension. It's a really genius little wine. I mean, it really is. I didn't think that... I mean, I like both of these wines. And this is interesting. In a certain sense, you have the same
grape. They're so different.
But they are. But think about this, though. Is it so strange that this wine is... has a weightiness to it when you consider what that wine is in its natural sense. Mm-hmm. It's not that surprising.
It's fantastic. And by the way, Dolce's is botrytized.
Yes. Is it? What is it? Semillon?
Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay. So basically they're emulating
Sauternes.
Sauternes. But the thing about that is Dolce costs $80 a bottle for a half bottle. You can buy this for $12.99. And I've had Dolce... And yes, it is a little bit better than this, but Not much at all, actually.
What's the big difference, would you say?
Nothing.
Wow.
One costs $80 a bottle. Now, Dolce, they do hand paint every bottle.
Oh.
So you might care about that.
Probably the oaking's a little different. I think, you know, they're advertising per se. You're gonna have some more vanilla, some more notes of that. That'd be a nice touch to this.
Yeah, I've had Dolce, and you know what it is?
What is it?
Overtly sweet, and it doesn't actually have the nuanced complexity to this one. You know it's bigger.
You know what this is?
What?
Pretty fucking good.
Yes.
So where are you at with this, Becky? Are you shocked? Are you surprised? Because this would be one of the ones that there's some episodes where it's just too bad that you can't see us on video because you weren't going to try this for a second. You were watching for our reaction.
I know. I was. Just the scent. I want, like, just a splash more.
Yes.
No, I was really surprised. Based off of the nose, it was a pretty strong nose. It's not...
You had that look on your face like you weren't going to like this.
Yeah.
And it isn't often where that goes away.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And I'm normally more open to white wines. But the nose on this man is a little bit off-putting to me, but it's nice.
Yeah.
It's a very lovely.
Okay, here's where I'm surprised. This has some port characteristics. The caramel, the texture to some degree. Now, you don't drink this and you go, oh, this is port, but it has some port characteristics. Maybe you can take that with you to the...
The very front palate, but it's
the very, very
Scott.
Going up that hill.
No, well, no.
But
no.
What I'm getting
at the base of the hill, there's a gift shop.
There's a gift shop. And I'm just trying to take Becky into the port gift shop.
You can eat some fondue in the gift shop. That's it.
I'm just trying to say, perhaps.
Rob doesn't want me to drink port because then he won't get to drink
it. No, I have no problem with you drinking port at all because
that would
keep
him from being a hangover.
We could be port partners, but. You know, as opposed to him.
Whoa.
We could buy a lot more port.
It does get a little uncomfortable sometimes.
It does.
I do love the idea of port that you can buy it and hold it for such a long amount of time. I think that's super, super cool.
That's not my experience.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you can buy it and you can be like, okay, we'll drink this whenever Henry has a kid.
Okay, we have some of those, but for the most part, the rest of them are short timers.
Well, but I think next time Rob tries to get you to drink port, think of this. Think of the front palate of this. See if that can take you across the...
Or I could just buy this and we can enjoy salt turners together.
Shit, this is good.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you could have, and you can buy a little inexpensive ones like this, under $20 for a half bottle. You know, you say, oh, we don't have a bottle of wine tonight. Why don't we just we'll chill a bottle of salt turners and we'll just sip that tonight. That'd be a nice night. Mm-hmm. When you get diabetes.
Especially being outside. I think this would be really nice. You're outside. It's the summertime.
It's funny. I was going the other way. I was going winter, fireplace.
In front of a fireplace,
whatever. But why not? Yeah. Why couldn't you have this in the summer? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just imagine it being like out on the deck underneath the stars.
Well, anything
going for romance.
That's true. Anything that's picturesque is nice with this wine. Mm-hmm. But no, I agree with Scott. I saw his romantic situation. What was it? Anyway.
That glimmer in my eye.
Yeah, that's right. No, in front of a fire, that's what I saw. But then again.
Pack this in ice, a little picnic out at the park.
Yeah.
Why not? Other than that you'd get arrested for drinking in a public place, we wouldn't that to happen.
You know, picnic at the Pops.
The arrested part.
Mm-hmm.
Picnic at the Pops?
A long time ago, Cindy and my sister, Shakespeare and Phil and I.
Cindy, don't call me Cynthia.
Yes, we went to Picnic at the Pops. And what did we take? I remember we took caviar.
Caviar. Whose idea was that?
None of us liked it. But we had caviar.
This was when...
Why don't we have caviar on the show, Scott?
Why were you so intent on impressing your brother-in-law? He wasn't even your brother-in-law then. He was your future brother-in-law.
No, he was my brother-in-law.
Okay. Why were you so intent on impressing him?
They've been married for, over 20 years.
Yeah.
No.
Why were you so intent on impressing him?
I wasn't.
You need to ask him
Scott.
In your therapist voice.
Scott. Okay. Can I tell you what happened?
Sure.
Our law firm.
He wasn't impressed?
We would get gift baskets.
Okay.
And this was in the gift basket. It was free. I don't even know where you buy caviar. Where do you buy it?
Anywhere.
Well, okay, I'll go buy it right now at the dollar store. What
you
the
get
fuck?
Little tins of it.
Oh, yeah, this is basically
I don't know if
that.
They carry it regularly at Kroger, but you, I mean, you would probably get it at, like, Marketplace Kroger.
I don't look for it, but yeah. But yeah. What about fine caviar? I'm sure this wasn't, but...
Do you buy it in a can or do you buy it in a jar?
This was in a jar.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts around the table of pro or con of caviar? We're not doing pro or con.
I'm trying to think of dishes I've had it where I just loved it, where it was just like a little subtle add-on to a dish. Crater,
you should like it because you love briny.
Yeah,
it, well, particularly
I like
when
it on
pops.
A cracker.
Yeah,
I think it's really good on a cracker. Something that I don't like that is in that family are capers.
Well,
like the same like salty flavor.
I almost
capers.
Bought capers the other day to yeah. cook with, and I went, but I don't really. They're too salty. I don't yeah. like capers. I know you don't. And I went, why am I buying them?
I like caviar. I love like the. They are like almost like a little bubble in your mouth.
They pop.
I like that. Yeah,
snap,
I like
crackle,
that.
Crackle pop kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a texture. It's mm-hmm. almost a crunch sometimes when you get really good caviar. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
High-end sushi, high-end rolls. You mm-hmm. can have it, you know, almost like a...
It's normally roe, though.
Almost like a topping, almost like a accompaniment to it.
That's normally the roe, salmon roe.
Orange, right.
Yeah, not the beluga caviar.
Yeah, not beluga.
But they do sometimes.
Last time I had it was on, it was at, in California, on New Year's Eve, I had those crepes. And they were a crab stuffed crepe, and it had caviar, and they were topped with caviar. And I did a Mum Brut Rosé with that. With dinner. It was lovely.
We did some seafood dish at our place Charlie's, and we were in Kissimmee. We had a caviar topped seafood.
Admiral's Feast.
It was a ceviche served in a martini glass that was topped with caviar.
That sounds so fancy.
I think the first time I ever had it was at my cousin Chris's wedding. I think it was in the appetizers. They had a little bit.
Okay. A little canapé. A little.
I don't recall ever having caviar, though, where I didn't like it. And that's before I really realized that I was a briny kind of person.
I think at the... when we went to the picnic at the Pops. Mm. That was back when it was at Chemical Abstracts.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm a little sketchy on this. I had a sparkler, but I think it was a Veuve.
Okay.
A vintage Veuve, possibly.
The clique.
And I think we had Fisher Merlot. Don't quote me on that.
Fisher Merlot?
From Napa. It's fancy. It's just the way I am.
Again, Robert, what was it that you were so trying to impress this Shakespearean man? Why did you go to so many efforts to impress him?
Why do you think, Doctor?
I don't know. This is Robert.
You're the doctor.
This is a question for you.
You're the doctor. You tell me.
Was it because you were comparing the sizes of your strudel?
What? Triple B. Triple B just silently shook her head. She just is like, this is your fault. You told him to use this dumbass voice.
What was Because
he
this?
Has to write material to go along with it. He's just is writing the voice, using the voice is one thing. Saying things that aren't retarded is another
what
thing. Sorry for the word retarded, but.
Of your trying to impress this person.
Should we hire somebody to write for him? Just to get past him cards, the side.
Cards?
Yes,
was it because you couldn't beat him in cards?
Oh, Jesus. He doesn't play cards. I don't know that he plays cards.
I'm trying to think of anything that I've had to compare this to give it a good score.
You just use your heart.
Listen to your heart.
When it's calling to you, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something that you can do. By the way, where is Bo tonight?
I think he's over there behind the recliner. I'll go look.
Okay. I was just curious because he hasn't actually made a sound. And
you know what's nice about the Sauternes? As it opens up and it's becoming a little more room temperature, it's changing.
It is. It is changing. And my glass is empty, so I have to have a little bit.
How dare you.
So.
Hey.
I'm going to service myself first.
Exactly.
I meant it dirty. So just put a little bit there. And then we'll put a little bit there. And folks, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to give reviews to both Le Col, Columbia Valley, Semillon, and whatever the, here it is, the Brumes de la Tour Blanche Sauternes here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. Back, folks. So, we're first going to provide a review to Le Col number 41, Columbia Valley Semillon. Then we're going to do the Sauternes, and then we're going to just give Semillon as a whole a review. Actually, maybe just give me a review because I thought of this. So, that's true. I'm going to go around the room to Triple B if she is so inclined, provide the Columbia Valley Semillon review.
Okay. So my notes on this wine were the acidity at the beginning, then the buttery, then the waxiness. We talked quite a bit about the mouthfeel. It didn't have a lot of flavor to it. Like you weren't saying, oh, it's this and then this flavor. It was more the journey through the mouth feels, which is different, but also very good. What I wrote in my notes was the star is the mouth feel. I have not had other wines like this, so it's really hard for me to give it a score. I wrote down 88.
Sacre Bleu.
I would be like 88, 89. That's where I would be.
You mean, so you're saying 89?
No, I'm saying I would give it an 89 is fine. It doesn't matter to me either way. That's
power
where I would be.
Of persuasion.
Yeah. It's very good. Something I will say, I'm cool. Let's do an 89 because the other thing I would say about this is it's a really elevated wine for a white wine drinker. And I think that comment is really understated because you're not used to an elevated mouthfeel when you drink predominantly white wines, something that's like kind of a journey through winemaking. So yeah, I'm fine with 89.
I love it. Are we just going around the room on the Semillon, I assume? So I'm going next. 91. I'm almost 92.
91.
I'm almost 92. I love it. I love that. That mouthfeel that Becky talked about, I think, is so unique for us. We've done a lot of wines. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done as many whites. Mm-hmm. But to have those two separate things in mouthfeel, two separate mouthfeel components that mm-hmm. are succinct and different. Mm-hmm. I talk about how wines shift gears. It did that with mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. I don't know that one was necessarily better or more elevated than the other. They were just different. The glycerin mouthfeel and the buttery texture of the mouthfeel. I'm a sucker for that minerality in the finish. And the other thing that I think gets overlooked about that wine, the length.
Yeah, the length is there.
That's a beauty. I'm almost talking myself into 92.
You do you, Scott.
I'm going to stick with the 91. I want it to be 92.
Give it a 92.
That's what it is. It's 92.
Okay, you're giving it a 92.
I'm giving it a 92. Right. I love it. My difficulty is, which of these wines do I like more?
That's they're different.
It's tough.
They're so different.
They're the same, but they're different. And I, now, folks, where am I at?
I know
where you're going to be.
I wrote my score down quite a while ago.
I'm rolling my eyes.
And Triple B, what do you think where I'm at?
You're at a 90.
He's at a 92.
I am not at a 90. That is incorrect. I'm not at a 92.
Oh.
I am actually at a 91.
that's surprising to me.
To make you feel better, I'd go 88 or 89 to 91.
Okay.
Oh.
But I'm at the top of the mark. And quite frankly, I don't know. Your 92 is fine, though.
Maybe the Jim Suckling of Semillon.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's really, really good.
It speaks to you.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair.
And that's what it's all about.
Correct.
And it speaks to me, too. I enjoy this wine. I love it. I think it's amazing. Then again, I also have to consider the fact I have a Lecole bias. Mm-hmm. So I have to take that into account. So to give it a 99 would be ridiculous. But it's an excellent wine.
You
it
have
really
a Semillon
is.
And a Lecole bias. You have a double bias.
I love Semillon. I just don't drink it very often because it's not that available. And then when I said, hey, Scott, buy that. And then I went,
Folks, you didn't tell me.
I did tell you to buy it specifically.
I showed you some choices.
Scott,
you would have bought
Liberty School Cabernet on your own.
He would have bought pizza. What was it?
He would have bought
pizza.
Sweet.
We had to buy that.
You would have bought sweet beach meat wine.
Oh my god!
You bought that, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Beach or meat wine? I don't know. Sweet beach or sweet meat? What is that called?
Oh, that's funny.
Beach or sweet meat wine?
Is it really called that?
Rob. You must be you.
I don't think so.
And I must be me.
Beat your sweet meat wine.
Yes. It's believable.
Some of
Scott.
Us are meat eaters. Some of us are meat beat.
You beat.
Gross.
By the way, this is a Hall of Fame wine.
Yes.
I personally don't recall a wine that I would recommend more to our listeners.
Oh, well.
I agree with Becky that if you're off the street and you don't know wines, and here, try this white wine. Maybe it's a bit much for someone who's not a wine drinker at all. But if you like white wines and you want to transition to something that has different characteristics for less than $20, less than $20 a white, let's talk about this for a second. What else do we have that's even close to this for less than $20?
I don't know, folks, but I did recall that, or I did realize that, I am going to have to relocate the Value Price Hall of Fame because I need more space for the Hall of Fame.
I know, it's true. You all put every second wine in the Hall of Fame.
That's just nonsense.
What's going to happen tonight on your third bottle? Spoiler alert.
Hall of Fame. Maybe. It's Carignan. We love Carignan.
This is Rob. I go to bed after the Carignan. First episode every single Monday morning. Guess what, Becky? We put it in the Hall of Fame. You don't say.
Yes.
Wasn't last week.
I'm so shocked.
Wasn't last week.
Well, speaking of Hall of Fame, moving on to whatever the second one is. The La Tour Blanche Brumes de la Tour Blanche. Sauternes, folks.
Brume de la Tour.
What?
Brume de la Tour.
Brume de la Tour, yes. But it is
La
from La Tour Blanche. That is the place. This is the second label, not the first. Because they have a better one.
Wait, what?
You pay for that discount.
How much was this compared to the other?
Well, this is $12.99, so I don't know what the other one was. Probably more than that. But I would buy this at $12.99. I really
for
would.
Sure.
I mean, this
nice.
Is fantastic value. Fantastic. For a dessert wine, this is magnificent. I couldn't imagine a better value than this. I mean, although, Scott, we did have that BV. This is better than that. But that BV Muscatel that we had that was $7.99.
Okay.
That was sweet and sloppy.
Did you guys put it in the Hall of Fame?
Value Price Hall of Fame, yes.
Just value.
Yeah, that was pretty good, though.
It's so interesting. You're just proving my point.
It was $7.99.
Huh.
Yeah.
Was it a second wine? Yes.
Yes. But the Hoag Late Harvest Riesling was lovely.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
It was good.
This is better than good.
Mm-hmm. This is great. So we're going to start off with the Triple B, who, because of her impertinence, has to go first.
Okay. I am going to give this a 90. It is syrupy in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. I love that little bit of acidity in it that breaks up some of the syrupiness.
Isn't that just how it kisses in there?
It's like a little gift in the middle to break it up a little.
Great call.
It's very nice.
The fact that it isn't overpowering.
That's my review.
Sorry.
You do you.
It's subtle. It's a very subtle acidic streak, but it is very, very nice. And it, I wonder, I was thinking a lot about if that wasn't there, how much we would like it, like if it would be too sweet, because that acidity just breaks it up enough that you're...
For one, I wouldn't like it as much. I think it's... Yeah. I think it,
yeah, sure.
It doesn't
get heavy-handed, and that's the most interesting thing about this, the fact that it has balance, and it cleans up after itself.
It's easy.
Unlike our children, it cleans up after
it's
itself.
It's easy, it's tasty, but that just has that, you know how I describe it going up the hill? Without that little kiss of acidity, it's not the same wine.
It's true.
It's those little characteristics that you're able to pick out. That's what elevates wines. That's what makes wine A better than wine B.
And it is subtle. It feels like a very French thing. Like, because it's not like hit you over the head, it's just a subtlety, and I really love that.
Yeah.
The apricot is just so delicious. It's not, a common wine flavoring, but just really, really good. It goes so well with the caramely taste that you also get. It really, really, really well done. I wrote down in my review, delight. It is a delight. Yeah. It's such a treat. Super glad that we tried this. But yeah, 90. Recommend it all day long.
On to Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
92
of his points.
I couldn't recommend this more. There's two things. The grapefruit kiss of acidity in the middle. Mm-hmm. The other thing I love about this is Rob described it as a lithy finish.
Yes.
It just goes to nothingness. So many times we have ports, and we love ports, dessert wines in general. And this is my anti-bias against sweetness. It goes away, and it's gone. It's just there's no lingering sweetness. There's no, which for me would not be pleasant. Mm-hmm. It's this crescendo, going up a hill, takes you on a nice ride. The mouthfeel, I think it's what it should be, the heaviness, the syrupiness, but it's not too much. 92. That's on the high side. I was going to go 91, but I couldn't decide between the two, so I went 92 on both. But I couldn't recommend this higher. I think for our listeners, I recommend this more than any port we've had. If you don't do dessert wines, this would be a fantastic entry point.
Very well said. Now, on to me. This is the problem with Triple B going first. She gets to make all the good points.
Damn it. She stole your thunder.
No. She basically stitched this up like a sumbitch.
Would you say that's the problem? Would you say I put the most thought into my reviews?
Well, currently, since I'm on a quest, I will tell you.
It's a problem.
He is on a quest.
I've already completed my quest. Rebecca. But nevertheless, true.
Rebecca.
I'll kiss my ass.
Rebecca,
I'm done.
When he has nothing further to add, this is a problem for him.
No.
I know.
He must have something to say.
Yes, you're the wine man. We're just going to call you the man. No. I always have something to say.
Do you think I should move over and start hosting the show?
Probably not.
Wow.
Scott knows that he probably shouldn't.
What?
So we're back to talk. Hello.
No, because every single week would be, this is another surprise wine.
That's true. At least you'd press the record button like Scott does not do. So
Rick Pitino was not guilty.
And by the way, Rick Scott, the next show you're going to host.
True. Okay. So,
nevertheless, I find this wine's balance, just like everybody else says, to be a delight. And the fact is, you have a Sauternes, which we've had, Scott and I one time, and it hasn't aired, and it won't air, but this dog shit, cheap ass,
oh my God.
750 Sauternes. Because it was terrible.
Wine was terrible. You all were terrible.
We were fantastic. The wine was terrible.
It was like, after 10 minutes, we're like, what? What else?
It was $15, but it was for a $750. So do the math. And it was a Sauternes from Giant Eagle. And I said, what is this? Well, we know what it was. Someone put sugar in their urine and put it in a bottle. This, though, is such a wonderfully balanced, crafted wine. It's a genius thing. And
you know, and I think
you should always have a couple bottles of this. I'm going to buy some more here eventually. Hopefully,
you are adding something to this that we didn't talk about. The balance of this,
yes,
the balance of this is. You're talking about a dessert wine that's balanced,
Scott. It's balanced in a way that we like. In the fact that
100%, I agree.
Often you'd say, "Well, it should have more length." Yeah, but it works the way it is.
Okay,
it should have this. Yeah, but it works the way it is. This wine works in and of itself. And that's unusual in the fact that you say it doesn't have a 45-second long finish.
That's okay.
It doesn't need it.
Nope.
No. It works like it is.
I don't know if I would like it with a really long finish.
I wouldn't want anything more out of this mouthful than what we got.
Leave it to other wines to do that. And by the way, I give it a 92 of my points as well. That puts, yes, I know.
Aggregate
and
that, score?
90.
500.
Yeah. And it goes in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame.
91.33.
Yes, it's wonderful, wonderful wine. Mm-hmm. Tip of the cap.
No shit.
Then again, I don't think this winery, La Tour Blanche, needs a tip of the cap. But, you know, I'm going to give it to you anyway because you make wonderful, wonderful wine.
Are we going to say which one, if you could only pick one to drink, which one would you pick?
Jesus.
Sauternes. I would always pick the sweet one. But I would enjoy both of these. Actually, the tip of the cap tonight goes to Sauternes.
The tip of the cap goes to Semillon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Semillon. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Semillon gets a 95.
Yeah.
Yes. Semillon is lovely.
So, there's plenty of white wine grape varietals that can be dry or can be sweet. Riesling comes to mind.
Yeah.
Some of the Italians can do that, right? Don't they do some sparklers and some different things? Oh, Prosecco, for say. It could be dry. It can be... Anyway, whatever.
Sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
This is an elevation of Rieslings that I'm not sure...
Well, okay. So you've not had Eiswein and things of that. I mean, there's Bernaus Leysen. There are
We've had those.
We've not had Eiswein from Germany on the show. Ever. And because it's expensive as shit. Bernaus Leysen.
And what did I say today?
They don't have Eiswein this year because of the warm weather. But
warming.
Yeah. This is the thing. Grand Sauternes and Eiswein, they compete very well. This is probably going to do very well against many Eiswein. But Eiswein is different. And I've had very good Eiswein. Okay. Take this. Take a thimble of Eiswein, drop it in a gallon of water, you have this. But think of the richness and the decadence of that. Remember that the Alvier's sherry?
Oh, the sherry.
That thing? Imagine Riesling flavors. That's Eiswein. So to really compare this and Eiswein isn't fair because they're not the same.
Okay.
This is a dancer. That's a brute.
Semillon's still 95.
Semillon's wonderful.
Superstar.
And this wine is wonderful.
It's difficult for me to give this compliment.
Yes.
But I think you are right in that this is a very underrated wine varietal.
Mm.
And thank you for bringing it onto the show.
You're very, very welcome. And I was looking forward to this, and I'm glad that we did it.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. What fun.
Yeah. I know.
And what good wine.
Yeah.
Semillon. And a white wine, for that matter.
Two good wines in one episode.
And if you, folks, if you haven't tried wine.com,
all this is purchased from wine.com.
Another reason to do it. And we, Rob and I both are.
We need a coupon code.
Stewardship.
Keep what?
From wine.com. We need a coupon code so it's like enter the wine vault 10 and get 10% off. Oh,
yeah, that's true. Wine.com. Get your shit together.
But it's, you know,
we're known.
You join the stewardship program and it's $50 a year and you get free shipping for an entire year.
It turns out I don't know how to cancel that, so I just get renewed anyway.
it's what happens. But
yeah,
it's
like,
there's a way to cancel.
Are you a pornography site that I can't cancel?
I
have any of those.
That you tried to cancel.
Oh, years ago, when you pay for porn. You don't pay for porn anymore. But
I was talking about that you can cancel your stewardship program.
I don't know how you do that. Do you talk to the bot?
Jeff, can I help?
Which you didn't believe for the longest time. You're like, no, he has a name.
Well, he always has the same name.
Jeff.
He's a bot.
He might be. Although I've got some he's a smart bot.
So I might have had a little bit to drink one night. I'm like, would you like to chat?
You're
like,
a drunk.
Yeah, can we talk on the phone? And he's like, yeah, call this number. It was a real life person.
Was it Jeff?
It was Jeff. No. That wasn't Jeff. It was.
See?
You creep them out? Because you just creep me out by telling me.
Name like Bernard or something like
you
that.
You just creep me out.
And I just.
Why would
just
you do
messed
that?
With him a little bit. It was why, not as much fun as I wanted it
why
to be.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to see that it was a real person.
Why did you say
he's just
know. What'd you call him about? What'd you talk about?
I pretended like I was talking about wine.
I bet you did pretend. They probably sniffed you out in 2 seconds. So do you think the next vintage of Apothic is gonna get a high review?
I asked him about Cold Sasso.
Don't you think that's ageable? screw it. Let's just talk about my penis. Yeah, that's that. You just went to that. Yeah. You don't know that it's gross. Anyway, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu.
It's a schnitzel.
Cocktail weenie.
Okay.
And bid you adieu here.
Strudel. Mein Strudel.
Fuck. On the Wine Vault. Good night.